This is the Say Yes to Fire Show. And now, join the conversation with Susanna Say Yes as she takes you on a mind-opening journey into the daunting world of financial independence and retiring early. We interview guests. We talk about stocks, crypto, and more. Streaming to the world and beyond. And beyond. Your Mondays will never be the same. Ready? Three, two, one. Fire.
Hello, everyone. This is your host, Susanna. ¿Qué tal? And welcome back. Thanks for listening to Say Yes to Fire once more with me, Susanna Say Yes. In this episode, we're going to discuss financial risk and its relationship with investment. But first, quick update. I started an Instagram about this show. It's called Say Yes to Fire, all together and in lowercase letters. So please open your Insta and press follow. I really want to invite you all to ask me questions, request content, I don't know, to start discussions, to comment posts. I want to be here for you guys. I really want to help to build this community where we can all engage with one another and help one another. So follow, say yes to fire, and say hi. With no further ado, let's dive in. We're going to get lost in Wall Street, but hey, we're going to find ourselves back, or at least we're going to try. The very first concept that I want to discuss with you today, that I think it's very important to understand, is financial risk. Have you ever stopped to think, what is your risk appetite? So how much money can you afford to lose? 3 years ago, I had no idea. And it wasn't actually until I lost some money that I reflected on it. It was very painful, like really painful. So I want to help you not to make the same mistakes. And then we're gonna think about this and reflect now because it's really important. So what is financial risk? Financial risk is your exposure to financial loss. So the probability to lose the money that you have invested. And don't get me wrong, this is not an easy concept to figure out, especially if you hate confrontation with yourself. So let's make this easy, guys. Let's ask ourselves, our interior selves, this question. What is your risk appetite? I personally use two rules of thumb to decide how much money or how much of the total of my money or my capital, my stash of cash, of course, I invest. The first rule is what I call the H rule of thumb. And it goes like this. You should invest the percentage of your total capital that is equal to 100 minus your age. So, I am 27. So, I'm going to invest 100 minus 27 equals 73. So, I'm going to invest 73% of my total capital or my total net worth. There is a slight variation, and probably you heard about it, which is instead of using 100, you use 110. So I would do 110 minus 27, 83%. But as you can see, it's a bit less conservative. So I personally decided to go with the 100 minus my age. This is my first revealed secret, guys. I invest approximately 73% of all my money. The second rule of thumb, which is actually what I call the safety net rule of thumb, goes as follows. you always, always, always have to keep 3 month worth of your total monthly costs in your current bank account or in a deposit that you do not touch. So let's say that I spend 1,000 euros per month. So if I apply this rule, I will keep 3,000 euros in my bank account. Not in the stock market, not in crypto, in the bank. Safe and sound. I'm probably gonna get many questions around these numbers, like why 3 months, why 100 minus your age. These are rule of thumbs that work for me, and they might not work for you, and you might want to find your numbers. As I say, I'm talking from my own experience, and for example, right now I do not have any big financial responsibilities. I do not own property. I do not have kids. I have a parrot, but that's a completely different financial responsibility. So yeah, maybe I'm at the age that I want to invest 73% of my capital and save in a, let's say, in a safe deposit or, I don't know, in an account that gives me like a small percentage. And you might be in a completely different situation. So it's important that we understand at what stage in life we're in, and we try to find our own numbers, because at the end of the day, only you will know what's best for you. This is hard for me, like, to adhere to this rule sometimes, because as soon as I get my salary, I get super excited of, like, I don't know, this new cryptocurrency coin, and then there is like this super cool stock that is gonna boom. I don't know, it's hard to focus. So what I do is I sit with myself, I'm like, Susanna, we're going to set aside this money into the deposit, like we agreed on. Sometimes it gets tough. I mean, between the, let's say, smart Susanna and the not so smart Susanna. So then I just run to my boyfriend and I beg him to press confirm and send the money to the deposit. I mean, that works for me. You, of course, can have other tricks. Now, guys, it's a time that I want to introduce my dear friend, volatility. We have some sort of, how do I call this? Like, love-hate relationship. I mean, we still haven't quite figured out yet. And probably you haven't either. But it's okay, guys, we can share. I mean, there is enough volatility in the market to share. So, no biggie. What is volatility? Volatility is, and I quote Investopedia here, a statistical measure of the dispersion of return for a given security or market index. The first time I read this, I was like, what? Then, guys, I just realized that volatility is, let's say, how fancy statisticians measure the market's indecision, or the people investing in the market indecision. When they trade, they invest. And usually, the higher the volatility, the riskier the product or the security. That's why a lot of people say that crypto is super risky, because it's super volatile. And that I can assure you. And hence, here, from all of these, it comes the hate against volatility. Have you ever heard of the expression high risk, high reward? What it means, like in practical terms, is that you can make use of people's indecision or the ups and downs of the market to make money. And I 100% agree with that. Volatility is scary, I'm not gonna lie. But if you know your shit, you can have one of those jackpot moments. And now it's the perfect time for one of my young Susanna stories. About a year ago, the volatility was very high, of course, because of COVID and all the uncertainty that surrounded that. I was already investing, or, well, doing shenanigans in the stock market, when I was watching some YouTubers saying, you can trade options and you can get very rich very fast. And I was like, hey, rich? Where? When? How? So I googled how people get rich with options. I mean, it looked fun. So I went deep into it. I went into my banking app that I use for investing, and I tried to buy an option. An option is a contract that it's only valid for a certain period of time. A day, a month, a year. I mean, it's usually set. And it's basically an agreement between two parties on the price of the underlying security. I'm not going to go deep into options in this episode because it's complex and it's not my point. So let's leave it as it is. It's an agreement on the price of the stock, and it takes, let's say, it's valid for a certain period of time, and it tends to be volatile. I wanted to buy the option, but of course, because it's risky, let's say compared to stocks, my bank made me do an exam, which I found out that it's pretty normal to do an exam online via the telephone, but okay. I studied, I passed the exam, and then I was ready to buy my first option. And I went long on a stock, which basically means that I was speculating that the price will go higher. But literally next day, someone important got corona. And boom, volatility extreme. And bye-bye option. I was a bit demoralized, but I was like, you know, it went wrong. Let's try again. I'm all about second chances in life. So the second time, I bought the Tesla option. And I again went long, thinking that the price would go higher. And Elon Musk actually tweeted something, and boom, I made some big money. Well, big money. Big money for me, let's say. Not for Wall Street guys. And I was like, oh my God, I love options, blah, blah, blah. And this whole story, I mean, the point of this story, of course, it was entertainment for you guys. Good laughs here. But I also wanted to prove the point that volatility can go both ways. It can go well and it can go not that well. You can know what you're doing, or you cannot know what you're doing, like me, and then it's like full luck. But the point is that it's better to know what you're doing, and you need to be aware 100% of your risk appetite before, let's say, going deep into investing. It's very important. I think this is a good moment to bridge into the next concept that I want to discuss with you guys. And this is the relationship between risk and investment. Let's say if you have big responsibilities that involve money, like kids, a mortgage, or a hefty student loan, you're probably not looking for high-risk investment, and you think more of, let's say, long-term investing. As we have established, volatility is positively or directly proportional to risk. So risk-averse investors want products with low volatility. And what are those products, you might ask? Bonds, for example. Bonds are instruments with a fixed income that represent loans. Especially government bonds are very low risk. They have low volatility, and they even give you a small interest for lending your money to, for example, a good cause from the government. You can buy bonds through your normal broker, and it doesn't have to be a person that you call to, but it can be your investment app, like I do, or an online broker. You can also if you're a risk-averse investor, you can also put your money in a low-risk mutual fund. And as I was talking in the previous episode, a mutual fund is usually fully managed, so you wouldn't have even to worry about what is low-risk, what is high-risk. They would choose for you. And they would probably put your money into bonds or ETFs. And here it comes, the very popular and famous ETFs, which stands for Exchange Traded Funds. These are securities that track indexes, sectors, commodities. Like, they basically track things. The difference between the mutual funds and the ETF is that, on the one hand, mutual funds only trade once per day and usually at the end of the trading day, so by close of the market, and the ETFs are actually open the whole time that the market is open. And why, let's say, ETFs are less risky than a stock, for example? Well, that is because the ETF itself, because it tracks, let's say, an index or a sector, it contains multiple underlying assets, which can be stocks, for example. So if you are really into technology and you're not very sure on what to invest, you can always invest in an ETF that tracks the sector of technology in a certain region, for example, or in a certain market. And basically, ETFs are the perfect example of the expression, "Don't you ever put all your eggs in one basket? Diversify, guys." Yeah, so that. And that's very cool for people who really don't want to, I don't know, do a lot of research into stocks or just prefer to put it and track some sort of index, commodity, or sector. So far, bonds, very low risk. We also have, let's say, different flavors of mutual funds. We have ETFs. And all of these products are for people who value more, let's say, the financial stability, having less risk. And yeah, basically risk-averse investors. And usually these investors, they like put the money there and they just hold it forever. They just leave it there. And if the economy grows, you can get a good, I don't know, 1%, 3%, 5%. I mean, it really depends. It really depends on who you ask. But you get something. You can grow your capital in this way. But if you like to ramble a bit more, you can go for stocks, which is a huge category. I mean, we have, let's say, risky stocks, which are usually called penny stocks, like Jumia, Fastly, Palantir. I mean, these are tech stocks, but examples. Or you can have, or you can go through a list of blue chip stocks, which are the most traditional ones, like Microsoft, Amazon, Google. I mean, those like really big companies that are, let's say, safer, and you know that they're well established. I'm going to prepare like a whole episode just on stocks, so don't worry, I'm not gonna really go deep now into it, but it's gonna be there, so just hold on. And guys, if that's not enough for you, you can also go for more risky products, like options or turbos, for example. These instruments are volatile and they use the whole concept of leveraging your investment. And that's nothing more, let's say, than a multiplier to go to your investment, that it can go both ways. They can multiply or they can divide if it doesn't go that well. And finally, for, let's say, the craziest and the riskiest of you, we have crypto. My beloved crypto, which also 100% deserves one full episode. It's gonna come. Hold on. The time will come. Let's not be impatient. This is not a sprint. It's a marathon towards financial independence and early retirement. Time's up, guys. I'm super excited also to tell you that in the next episode, we'll have a guest here with us. I'm not going to reveal a lot, just that he's an engineer, so guys, we can trust him. He's working in tech, and he's super into personal finances and investment, and super passionate about economics. I ask him here to talk about his long-term investment strategy, his vision, and he's gonna give us some practical tips, some tricks, and some final surprise, as always. So tune in also in the next episode. And for now, have a nice day, have a nice night. Until next time.
You've been listening to the Say Yes to Fire podcast. Consider yourself enriched. For the latest, go to SusannaSayYes.nl. That's Susanna, SELLES.nl. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from the show. Make sure to like, subscribe, and share. Remember, sharing is caring. Till next time.